Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. It is surreal. So many otherwise sane white nationalists think that the recent election of Donald Trump is of great and positive significance for the future of our race. I think that's wrong. Donald Trump and his gang represent a continuation of the downward arc that has characterized America since 1945, a continuation of the American democratic system that our enemies seized at that time, a system that has now become an engine of racial destruction that threatens our very existence. The Trump Republicans and the neocon Republicans, who may well merge again to some extent in the new administration, and the screaming freaks of the progressive wing of the Democratic Party, and the schoolmarm smug tyrants of its liberal wing, are all just factions of the same ruling structure. They differ from us fundamentally, and differ from each other only superficially. They all want us dead or in jail or marginalized, weak, poor, and totally powerless. They want us forced to watch impotently in rags and chains and near total ignorance as our sons and daughters are raped, debauched, addicted, medicated, sodomized, sterilized, cannon-foddered, and race-mixed to death, all for the benefit of the super-wealthy Jewish ruling class. I am sure that J.D. Vance wouldn't put it in those words, but neither would Tim Walz or Kamala Harris or Jonathan Greenblatt, at least not publicly. Trump and Vance want the going under to be quiet and peaceful, with a bit less torture and more business as usual. But that's still what the future will be like. Donald Trump and his crowd share almost nothing with us or our values or our vision of the future. What they support, they share in common with our deadliest enemies: a multiracial America, an ever-browning America in which interracial unions are something to be proud of and the wave of the future, in which Jewish billionaires keep their vast wealth and media control and ability to create money out of nothing, in which every sexual perversion and sick madness that the Jewish brain can devise, and they're not done devising, I can assure you, is lauded and allowed to be openly favored and promoted, in which racially loyal white people are demonized, and our political and social and religious outreach and organizing is deprecated, censored, monitored, persecuted, and prosecuted. The compromise reached by ex-owner Elon Musk with the Jewish power structure, in which Jew-friendly conservatism is allowed, but real race thinkers run the risk of banning, is a perfect example. It's exactly the same compromise that our society's Jewish overlords have enforced on the establishment Republicans and conservatives ever since Packards were parked in their driveways. So nothing new here, folks. A big chunk of the establishment hate and fear Trump because he elbowed his way into their private club of vampires without vetting or permission. because he's a formidable rival for their positions, sucking the blood out of the American people, and because he keeps threatening to fire them all and bring in a whole new team of vampires who he claims will be more circumspect in their depredations and who just might put a lid on the craziest of the crazies and make the trains run on time. I think Trump is pretty much who he says he is. He wants the system that misrules us reformed, not replaced. He admires and reveres the super successful Jews who win bigly in the rat-eat-rat world of American capitalism. I think he really does want more common sense and less chaotic leftist insanity, but is also telling the truth when he says it is a good and especially moral thing to embrace Jews and blacks and browns and perverts at every single opportunity. I think he really believes that white racism is evil and should be fought. I think he really believes that, quote-unquote, anti-Semitism is a terrible sin, and that eliminating it should be one of society's highest priorities. Greenblatt and his ilk are afraid, of course, that he doesn't believe that disliking Jews is the ultimate sin, and that really worries them. Nothing less than absolute, total worship and subservience is good enough for Jews, and even that isn't really enough. Nothing is, or could ever be, enough for them. Trump may not be the candidate that the main body of the Jewish power structure would have picked, but he is the candidate they should have picked. He's perfect for them. The ordinary white people think he's the staunch opponent of all that plagues them. But actually, he's 100%, maybe 150% Team Jew. Perfect. It doesn't get better than that for the cryptocracy that is America. In 2015, when he was running for president for the first time, Donald Trump used to boast that he didn't take money from the big donors, a wildly disproportionate number of whom are Jews. Trump even said his rival for the Republican nomination, Marco Rubio, would become a puppet because he was taking a lot of money from casino billionaire couple Sheldon and Miriam Adelson. But by the very next year, Sheldon Adelson started funding Trump with an initial payment of $100 million. Doubtless, some of that money was used to create the ads in which Trump tried to appeal to the Jew-wise by featuring the faces of Jewish financiers and oligarchs and Fed chairmen while he talked of taking power back from them and giving it to the people. Talk about irony. That $100 million morphed into $500 million in short order, and the total is much, much larger now, as the largesse continues from Miriam, now that Sheldon has gone on to the subterranean Zion, or wherever they go when they cease to plague us. Miriam has to get by on $40 billion or so now, along with a daily income of around $35 million from a string of casinos. She certainly does need all the protection that Donald Trump has promised to give her. And Miriam Adelson is very, very pleased with the performance of her servant. I'll embed part of a speech she made on that topic in the text version of this broadcast on nationalvanguard.org.
That president is Donald Trump. He promised to recognize Jerusalem and to move the embassy to Jerusalem. Promise kept. He promised to withdraw from Iran nuclear deal. And promise kept. He promised to bring peace between Israel and Arab nations. Promise kept. And all in Golan Heights, that was a big gift. He promised Golan Heights, and he recognized me. And all of this he did in his first term while battling COVID pandemic, race riots, and the liberal media. Now I want to tell you, politicians make promises. Real leaders keep promises.
She goes on and on about all the territory that Donald Trump allowed Israel to seize from its rightful inhabitants, and all the money that makes it easy for Jews to slaughter them. As we're seeing every single day now in Gaza, the West Bank, and Lebanon. And Jews have made America and Europe into killing fields too, by the way. For racial replacement is just as sure a method of mass murder as our phosphorus bombs and drone missiles. Once he was president, Miriam Adelson was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom by Trump. How the parasites of every stripe like to confer worthless honors upon one another. The mud on my shoes when I dug communications wire trenches for William Pierce was a far, far greater mark of honor than any that these scumbags give to each other. According to a report on LifeSite News, quote, "How influential was Sheldon Adelson? Craig Holman of the watchdog group Public Citizen said of Adelson's influence in the first Trump administration, 'I've never seen anything like it before. And I've been studying money in politics for 40 years. I would put Adelson at the very top of the list of both access and influence in the Trump administration.' Benjamin Netanyahu was blunt, describing the late Adelson as a champion of the Jewish people. In 2010, Adelson himself lamented having served in the U.S. and not in the Israeli army. 'The uniform that I wore in the military, unfortunately, was not an Israeli uniform.' Why? He explained the sentiments which motivated him and his Israeli-born wife, Miriam. 'All we care about is being good Zionists, being good citizens of Israel, because even though I am not Israeli born, Israel is in my heart.' The Intercept reported in 2021, in return for his money, Adelson got everything he and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu could ever dream of. Adelson's wish list has been granted. His demands have all been met so far. Finally, in his last political act as president in 2020, Trump lifted travel restrictions on Israeli spy Jonathan Pollard, who flew to Israel on a plane provided by Adelson. He was greeted on arrival by a jubilant Netanyahu. Pollard had spent 30 years in jail for giving top-level U.S. intelligence to Israel. He has been described as one of the most damaging spies in U.S. history. In 2017, Netanyahu again tried to make a deal with Trump to secure Pollard's right to travel to Israel. 3 years later, Trump delivered again for Israel, liberating one of the greatest traitors to America in return for what? Trump has signaled in recent days that he fully backs Netanyahu, whatever he, quote, has to do, unquote. Trump claims Biden has held Netanyahu back as Israel escalates its genocide in Gaza and launches a further war in Lebanon. End of article.
Does the department make it easier or more difficult?
I think it makes it easier.
Why is that?
You've got to talk to Prime Minister Netanyahu about it.
He's called me, yes. He's called me. I have not spoken. I'm going to speak to him probably now.
What are you going to tell him?
Well, look, he's doing a good job. Biden is trying to hold him back. Just so you understand, Biden is far superior to the VP. He's trying to hold him back, and he probably should be doing the opposite, actually. I'm glad that VP decided to do what he had to do, but it's moving along pretty good.
It's pretty clear that Trump is owned, and not just by Jewish money, but by the corruption of the Jew-run system that has imbued his mind and heart for his entire life. And it is also definitely clear that he is not a champion of our race. He's just a sharp businessman who thinks he can run the race replacement ship that America has become better than the Democrat nutcases can. And he's probably right about that. Author John Massaro speculated on National Vanguard weeks ago that Trump would be elected. And he was right about that. And he also speculated that he would not serve out his full term. We shall see. Either way, even though his candidacy is not the cause for hope and progress that some pro-white folks think it is, and despite the fact that he has repeatedly and ominously threatened to end critics of Jewish power by unspecified means, the hopes he raised among whites are a good thing. These hopes are sure to be dashed. And then, if we can reach enough of those good white folks, many of them are quite capable of understanding and supporting the real hope of all time, the message of the National Alliance.